When it comes to fighting the battle on our knees, that is what we're going to be looking at today from this passage where Apostle Paul is speaking about prayer in the context of evangelism, prayer in evangelism. And so that's what we're going to look at today. The first step toward making disciples is prayer. Join me one more time as we go to the Lord. We do ask you, God, to be with us, help us to hear your truth, and help us to respond in faith to the glory of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. As I get older, I've noticed, and probably many of you have as well, I start talking about how fast time goes by. And it does. It goes by very fast. Time rolls on. The amount of time that we have on this earth will be different. It's different for everybody. But the importance of that time is the same for everybody. How many of you remember watching The Jetsons, that old cartoon, The Jetsons? It was a futuristic cartoon. It debuted in 1962, but what it did is it portrayed a future, much of which they had no idea we would actually be living in today. If you take away the flying cars, there are things like people talking to each other on a flat screen. We do that all the time now. Devices that make life easier, like a phone or a watch, or even robotics that help make life easier. We see many of these portrayed in that, and George Jetson was the patriarch of the family, of this futuristic family. And according to the show, he was born July 31st in the far-off year of 2022. So his future has arrived, and ours has too. And when you approach a new year, and it's good to do this, when we come into a new year, it kind of forces us to reflect, to think about how things are going in our personal lives or in our home, maybe some changes that need to be made. I don't know. We always do that. Set some goals and so forth, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing to do. And the church is to do that as well, to reflect on where we are as a church and how we might move into the future, some goals, what kind of legacy we want to leave as a local congregation. So we've been thinking about that. Actually, we preached through several things last year that we're just trying to summarize as we come into the new year. And a couple weeks ago, I introduced how a local church is to practice greatness. We're kind of summarizing what the church is all about. And in those words, pursuing God's greatness or practicing greatness, we have three things. We have a great commandment to obey. These are foundational in the life of the church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. And then we have a great commission to fulfill. Jesus said, go and make disciples. That's the marching orders of the church. That's the purpose of the church, to go and make disciples. Introduce people to Jesus Christ, children, youth, adults, and then build them up in the faith. Make disciples. And then all through the scripture, there's this great call on our lives to be like Jesus. As he who called you is holy, you are to be holy. So we're growing. We're being sanctified, and we're growing more and more in the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's the great call on our lives, to be like him. So these are foundational in any local church. And we're introducing language now that is a strategy behind that. What's some ways we can do this? We can love God, love others, fulfill the Great Commission, practice these great elements of the Scripture. And those words are prayer, care, and share. And what we're introducing over the next few weeks is prayer, care, and share in discipleship and evangelism. But we're focusing on prayer right now. Prayer, care, and share in discipleship and evangelism. Last week, Robert focused on prayer as a matter of discipleship and growing people within the church. He used that great passage, one of the highest peaks in all of Scripture, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21, just a few words from that great passage is a prayer from the Apostle Paul for the church. He says, I pray that God will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit, that Christ will make his home in your hearts, that your roots will grow down deep into God's love. He says that you may have power to understand and experience the love of Christ, that you will be made complete in him. See, this is language of discipleship. We are to pray this. Robert said he's praying this for the whole church. That's a prayer of discipleship, that you and I will be empowered in the inner person, that we will be rooted and grounded in the love of God, that we will have the power to understand the revelations of God and experience this love of Christ, to be made complete. This is a prayer of discipleship, a prayer of deepening, ever deepening discipleship. Now, churches can get out of balance. Some churches can just focus on discipleship and not on evangelism. And the other, I guess, is true as well. A church can focus just on evangelism without growing deeper in discipleship. We want to have both. To just emphasize one is kind of like playing the drums with just one stick. It's hard. You need both sticks, a growing discipleship and introducing others to Jesus Christ. We want to grow and introduce people to Christ. As the early we're told in the New Testament, in the early church, the church was edified and multiplied. That's the prayer for the universal church, but a local church as well, that we would be edified, that is built up, and multiplied in the sense that others would come to faith. Again, our children ministries are set to that end, and our youth and adult ministries. Now, when the Apostle Paul is writing here to the Colossians, he's talking about prayer in the context of evangelism. He had just finished teaching about how the gospel affects all relationships, husband and wife, parent and child, and so forth. And then he moves towards prayer in Colossians 4. And look at this verse 2 again. He says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. It's the same language that's used in Acts chapter 2. Of course, Paul is writing decades later, but in Acts chapter 2, the early church, what did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer, the word of God, and by prayer to God. They devoted themselves to this. And so Paul is saying in this verse, be constant in this practice. Devote yourself to it. And he says, do it with an alert mind. That's just an active wakefulness of the soul. And then he says, of course, always add to that thanksgiving. If you do anything at all in your prayer time with the Lord, make sure you say a word of thanksgiving to the glory of who he is and the grace that he's given us. We're to be a thankful, worshiping people. And so this is his admonition to the church. Pray in the sense of growing disciples within the church, because the best way, the first step toward any evangelization of our community or the world is the renewal of the church, and that can come through this prayer. Christ has done something for us. We're going to celebrate that in just a moment on the cross. He's done something for us that he might do something in us by his Spirit, that he might do something through us as the body of Christ in this world. He's done something for us that he might do something in us, that he might do something through us. And a supernatural ministry that the church has needs a supernatural means. If we're going to see souls come to Christ, we must pray. We pray. The first step toward making disciples. So, when we think about prayer, care, and share, we're thinking about this, and I introduced this a couple of weeks ago, this simple statement of what we're about, prayer, care, and share, cooperating with God and others to bring people one step at a time closer to Christ. Cooperating with God and others to bring people one step at a time closer to Christ. And the cooperating with God is the part about prayer, because it is God's initiation ultimately. He is the great initiator. Our understanding of evangelism is that God is at work through his Spirit, his grace. It all begins with God. God is the initiator. Adam, after his sin, Adam, where are you? I need to find you. I'm trying to find you. This is the early reference to God chasing after humanity. The calling of Israel, initiated by God. The coming of Jesus Christ in the fullness of time. God sent His Son. God precedes all else. And us, before we're even aware of it, God's love and grace is extended to us. God is opening His arms to us before we even know that we need Him or should want Him. And He's offering us grace in Christ, inviting us to respond in faith and love. That's why we pray, because He's the great initiator. God reveals truth to human hearts. I've never argued anybody into the kingdom. Now, it is our job, as the Apostle Paul says, and we're going to look at it more closely in just a moment, it is our job to make the gospel clear, but it is God alone who opens the heart of a person to receive the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. As Jesus Himself said, it is God who draws us to the Son. Jesus put it this way. A couple of scriptures I want to give you. This Colossians 4 is not the only one, but I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Do we have that? Yeah. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. These are prayer scriptures of evangelism that the Apostle Paul gives. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, it's on that little card that we've given you to put names down on. My heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved, cooperating with God and others to bring people one step at a time closer to Christ. God reveals His truth in human hearts. Now, Jesus said this. This is Matthew chapter 9. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. Like sheep without a shepherd, He said to His disciples, okay, here's the situation, and I think this defines a lot of people, confused, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then He said to His disciples a word about prayer. This is evangelistic prayer. The harvest is great, but the workers are few, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into His fields. We are told in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 that the Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. Now, He did it through the apostles' preaching and through the life and the love and the witness of the church, but it was the Lord's work. That's why we pray. That's why we seek God for others. He's the head of the church. He grants salvation. We should use, as John Stott says, we should use every means God has given us, but only in humble dependence on Him as the principal evangelist. Now let's go back to our passage, Colossians 4, verses 3 and 4. Here's this great prayer in evangelism that Paul is asking the church. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about His mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Many opportunities. Some Bibles translate this a door of utterance. And that's really what it means. It commonly signifies a door as a metaphor of opportunity. So Paul is asking for a door to be open for the gospel to go in. This is how we pray. This is how I need you to pray, Paul says. The door of faith being open, an opportunity for the gospel to go to the nations. And then he says to speak about the mysterious plan concerning Christ, this mystery of Christ that we call the good news or the gospel. What is this mystery that has been revealed? It is this, that Christ has come, we can have forgiveness of sins through His death and resurrection, and be reconciled to God. And that is for both Jew and Gentile alike, all people. That's the mystery revealed that Paul is talking about here. Pray, he said, for me. Pray for our ministry, that this gospel would go out. this mystery of the goodness of, and grace of God in Jesus Christ. And then he notes this, that is why I am here in chains. The Apostle Paul was preaching in Jerusalem this very gospel, and his Jewish brethren tried to kill him. And so he appealed to Roman authorities. He appealed to Caesar himself. And that's where we find him now. He is shipped off to Caesar, and he is held in prison awaiting a full hearing for his case, his trial. And it is here that he writes these Colossians, this letter. And so he notes that here. I am here in chains because of this gospel. Sometimes the proclamation of this gospel is sacrificial. And then he says that I will, here's the prayer, that I will proclaim this message clearly. That means to lay it open, to clearly lay it open so all can see it. And then this last little phrase, as I should. He's thinking of his high calling. This is what I should do, and his heart's desire. And that's the heart of the church. That's the calling of the church. And so he's asking brothers and sisters to pray for this ministry of evangelism in his personal life, but also in the church as a whole. Wherever prayer focuses, the power falls. Howard Hendricks, longtime professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, had a discipleship group of students that he met with. And one semester, he was burdened for the very thing we're talking about this morning, that is praying for unbelievers and those far from God to come to Christ. Some people have never known Christ. Others knew him at an early age, and they've drifted so far away. And so these are people we want to be praying for. And everyone really knows someone like that. We want to pray for these people. And he had this same burden. And he came to class one day, and this is what he said. He said, before you come back next week, I want you to bring an index card having spent time asking, who are the people you know least likely to come to faith in Christ? Be it a friend, a business associate, a family member, etc. And then the students brought back 69 names the next week on those cards. And then they covenanted together to pray, work through those names on a daily basis for the next 4 months, this small group of 12 and Howard Hendricks. And this is what happened. By the end of the 4 months, 37 of those 69 names, 37 of those people came to saving faith through Jesus Christ. And through no other means but prayer. This is his testimony. And this is the witness of the church and the power of God through the prayers of the church. So as we talk about prayer in the context of discipleship and evangelism, what if we too were serious about praying for those far from Christ who needed to open their hearts to Christ, say for the rest of this year? What if two or three or four would gather on occasion to pray just for that focused time for souls to come to Christ? As the Apostle Paul prays and brings it before the church of the Colossians, may we too have our eyes open. May we too have people on our hearts, people who need Christ that we bring before the throne of grace. Wherever prayer focuses, the power of God falls. And may the success and spread of the gospel into open hearts, may that be ever dear to us, and let us not neglect to pray fervently to God that his word might spread among the community and the world and penetrate hearts that need him desperately. Will you pray with me?